we follow salvage rhythms. By rhythms, I mean forms of temporal coordination. I'm Sam Williams. I am a visual artist and filmmaker and a resident at Somerset House Studios.
And I'm Rolly Porter. I'm an electronic musician and I release music on Subtext Records, Triangle Records, and usually work entirely on my own.
Salvage Rhythms is a live performance with three performers and live audio by mostly Rolly, but also myself. And it came from a bigger research project, which was also live performance and film and writing, to do with thinking about non-human-centric ways of living in the world and looking to multi-species entanglements in the natural environment to think about how we can live together as people, but also how we can do that now and not necessarily speculating kind of future scenarios, just thinking about how we can function. And it's important to say that the work is collaborative, not just between us, but between all five of us. And was really lucky to be working with Samir Kennedy, Leah Marejovic, and Karen Callahan, who are incredibly talented performers. On the one hand, I am full of admiration for the people who figured out how to survive despite the destruction of their forest. On the other hand, I can't help but worry when the scrap metal will run out and whether there will be enough other stuff in the ruins to make continuing survival possible. And while not all of us enact such a literal figuration of living in ruins, we mostly do have to work within our disorientation and distress to negotiate life in human-damaged environments. We follow salvage rhythms. By rhythms, I mean forms of temporal coordination. Salvage rhythms came from a passage in a book by Anna Tsing called The Mushroom at the End of the World. In that passage, she was talking about how she's interested in communities and species that are kind of surviving in damaged or ruined landscapes and how they're kind of salvaging what they can to survive and to live. And she's interested in what would happen when those scraps run out. And she kind of talked about these cycles as salvage rhythms. So the performance is set up on a gridded floor with three performers, or four, or five, or two. At Salvage Rhythms, it was three. And under the floor in each grid space is a kind of contact mic, which we use to then create a live score. It's a flexible time, but an hour and a half durational performance with no real set beginning or end, kind of depending on the time we're given. It's completely flexible and it evolves in cycles. We were speaking about it like kind of like composting, and the idea that as long as you keep adding some fresh layers, it could essentially go on, the process goes on forever. If performers feel like everybody's been laying down too much and it's all been very slow, get up and do one of the actions that's fast, and kind of build in ways to respond to the moment that you can do live without feeling like you're forcing really specific compositions to happen. There's one action that the performer Leah Marejovic does with her thumb, and she's kind of scanning, measuring. A lot of the language came out of this idea of measuring the space. And so she's scanning with her thumb and her eyeline around the room. And that's a very clear, like, image to recognize. And nobody else does that. So then when you notice her sharing a space with Samir or Karen or both of them, and they also start to lift their thumbs, that's one example of a real clear, like, distinct change in their behaviour that they weren't doing before. That has clearly come from Leah sharing a space and her action kind of contaminating theirs. and they might drop it as soon as that relationship finishes, or it might continue to kind of feed into the rest of their gestures as it continues over time. And one of the interesting things that relates to a lot of the research, which was about how these interactions do play out in different relationships between plants and animals and various other kind of critters, fungi, like all of these things that happen around us, is that what can sometimes appear to be a kind of mutually beneficial relationship actually turns out to be one that's deadly for one of the participants in that relationship. Like, there are kind of spores of mushrooms which kind of are carried in the bodies of like wasps or various other insects, and it's kind of relatively harmless until one day it sprouts and kills the body of the host. And it's this kind of idea that there is something that can sometimes feel very gentle, or you can't quite decide who's like farming the other to survive.
What I wanted to achieve was something that was completely reactive, and the audio is basically determined by the current interactive state of the performers. So at certain times the three performers are quite a long way apart, and at other times they're interacting either in a pair or three of them, and determined by that state there should be a different outcome in the audio. So the contact mics trigger various instruments, and those instruments are determined by the interaction, the kind of state of the three performers, because they have a different rule set depending on certain movement patterns that Sam designed. There's a combination of aspects, like the contact mics play instruments or recordings. There's also a series of loopers that kind of collect, like the idea Sam mentioned of composting, that kind of over time collect and build up to form what I suppose was the kind of static bed for the whole piece. So various things are kind of captured and recorded and looped on top of these kind of momentary bursts that come from the contact mic generated instrumentation. Other sounds were, there were some kind of, you know, more conventional field recordings of natural events, so things that I in some way related to this idea, so kind of earth-based sounds, movement, rocks, things like that, you know, conventional natural sounds, and then just different processed musical sounds, but again, no kind of composed melodic ideas. All of the melody was, any kind of melodic suggestion would only have been if two tonal things had been triggered and recorded at a time, and that would have created some kind of tonal thing. There was no, you know, no playing notes.
It was a really simple metaphor that we started to talk about, was the whole thing of being like gardening, or being like a garden, and that including for the audience too. So the performers are kind of gardening, like they're taking care of these different spaces, and even though the movements might be slow or small or repetitive, it's work. Like, it's hard, you know, they're trying to do something every time. They're not just performing in action, like there's a task behind it that they have in their head to keep them going, but also from an audience point of view, it's like sitting in that garden and like taking the time to notice not only what's immediately happening, but then noticing what happens like on smaller scales, and then listening to the sounds that you can hear like first. But then the more you listen, you can hear sounds that are kind of further away, or things change and come and go. So it's a really, it's quite a basic like way of thinking about it, but it seemed really apt, like this idea of just like relaxing into something and gradually seeing the patterns like emerge, rather than everything just be sort of instantly knowable.
One thing I wanted to do was just use dictaphones. I love dictaphones, and use them to kind of record little aspects of what we're doing and add that to the layers. And one of these dictaphones that I bought on eBay came with a collection of tapes that the couple who owned it previously hadn't erased. And there's amazing tapes of them sitting watching TV in a kind of early version of Gogglebox. They're watching things like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Is that what it's called? answering the questions, or just watching the news and sort of chatting with themselves. But there was also a whole series of their answer phone recordings. And listening to those was incredible. It's the kind of mundane, any human life, any average human life. And in it were these stories, you know, you'd get people over the course of an hour or something, which in real life was maybe a couple of weeks or a few weeks of recordings, you'd get people that you'd recognise, you know, calling back, "Oh, hi, it's Tim about the door again." But it was the nature of kind of these people's lives passing in these little windows into their lives. It was strangely sort of heartbreaking, and definitely related, the idea of it kind of recording over itself over time, definitely related to me. One of the layers that the performers were triggering through this system of mics was built up from these recordings. So the actual dictaphone itself was playing back these tapes, and that was one of the elements.
A lot of the research has been based around fungus as like because they're a different kind of organism. They're not a plant or an animal, and there's something that we don't know a lot about. I'm going to get this wrong, but we know more about like outer space than we do about like under the soil. And I found that idea really interesting. It's kind of like we know more about space than we do about the bottom of the ocean. It's like this stuff is happening like under our feet, and we don't really know that much about it. I just found it really interesting that there's this idea that what we see of a mushroom is like the kind of fruiting body bit that comes out of the soil, but actually what's going on underneath is like huge networks of things that are all connected that are massive as well, like not small little kind of plant roots. Lots of trees, the roots don't come into direct contact with the soil. There's like a layer, a fungus over them that manage the transitionary relationship between like roots and soil. So I just found this whole idea interesting, that there's this like whole networks of communication happening between fungus and plants, and fungus and animals, and plants and animals, and you know, all of this stuff happening that we don't know a huge amount about, and where a lot of the time the primary goal for at least one of the participants in the relationship is survival. The question of how the varied species in a species assemblage influence each other, if at all, is never settled. Patterns of unintentional coordination develop in assemblages. To notice such patterns means watching the interplay of temporal rhythms and scales in the divergent lifeways that gather. This idea, it doesn't have to always be harmonious, or maybe it's harmonious for a while, but then the conditions change. Just the idea that like there's so many things going on, and the primary goal of most of them is survival, and sometimes that happens mutually. They help each other to survive. Sometimes it doesn't work like that.
You can't identify, but sometimes the the kind of algorithm, like the idea of these root systems, the kind of thing that it's an analogy of, is completely believable in the three, you know, the combination of sound in these three people's very, very subtle. A lot of the movement's very slow. So you suddenly realize that you're seeing something that, in a way that you can't exactly pinpoint, is perfectly balanced and is effectively, you know, giving this sense that you tried to develop. And then at other times not. I found it very difficult to identify what those parameters of success were. Sometimes it doesn't work, sometimes it does work, because they're doing the same actions and the sound is relatively similar, but at times the particular arrangement of three people in their particular thing perfectly conveys this message.
I think what I meant when I said that it's about thinking about how we can live non-human centrically now, as opposed to thinking about ways that could happen in the future, is because it can come down to just your relationship with the environment and the relationship with each other, and being understanding that not all situations are beneficial for everyone, and that's okay, as long as everyone's involved in cycles that are good for them to survive. It's not trying to say that there's a perfect utopian answer where everyone's going to be happy all the time. I was more interested in what this might throw up in terms of patterns for living that understand that it's sometimes that it happens in kind of waves, just because two people in one part of the space are creating something new and interesting together, and you're kind of, someone else is left on their own in the corner. That's fine, because as the cycle goes round, they will get picked up and brought into something interesting too. So it's sort of understanding that there are lots of relationships happening all at the same time.
Some of the house, 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 the house,